Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, July 15, 2025. Thank you for downloading. It's just you and I today as the All-Star Home Run Derby finish too late for tonight's edition of the Zabecast, but man, there is stuff happening left and right. Let's start with cut one. The white man bringeth the thunder. We might have witnessed the greatest white guy dunk in the history of the game of basketball. I do not exaggerate. If you have a better white guy dunk, I'd love to see it. It was authored by one Johnny Furphy, formerly of Kansas, now a Indiana Pacer. White kid who can absolutely bounce. Summer league ball, so you take that with a grain of salt. But poor Noah Asenge of the Chicago Bulls has now been immortalized, posterized, and humiliated in both video, slow-mo, and a still shot as Furphy, the white kid, is throwing it down in the most embarrassing poster shot ever seen. This thing was electric to watch because it came on an open run in the game between Chicago and Indiana, 44-42. Again, it's summer league, okay? Glorified pickup ball. But Furphy goes behind the back with his dribble, explodes down the lane, finds a willing Asenge ready to meet him at the rim about 11 feet off of sea level. And it was at that point that Furphy said, I'm not just going to dunk this. I'm going to cock this ball so far back, you won't believe it. Here's what it sounded like from the announcers on ESPN.
Well, I'm not sniffing that Hall of Fame anytime soon. But speaking of Syracuse alumni, Jim, I need Buddy to be healthy.
Oh my goodness.
Furphy! Cocked it way back.
My goodness. That was in the top 10 out here, maybe all time.
Down under. Wow. Incredible how he brought that ball back. Look at this. Look at him bring that back. That raised the level of energy in this building.
I mean, it's just a sick dunk. Good for the kid. You know, it's funny because we all joke white men can't jump. They made a movie about it. We understand that the white man plays the game of basketball amongst his usually, as a class at least, superior African-American brothers. But there are some white boys who absolutely can do some electric stuff. The photo is going to go viral. You're going to see it soon. The video is going to go viral. If somehow you are in a cocoon, an information vacuum in which you do not see these kind of things, I urge you, look it up. Johnny Furphy. Great name.
Furphy. Johnny Furphy.
White kid, ordinary looking, kind of a mop haircut. comes into a gym. What are you doing here, Squidnik? Oh, I'm just here to dunk on you in the most savage way possible. Poor Asenge looks like an alien has impaled him from behind with its one of its tentacles and is sucking his soul out of his body as we speak. Nice dunk, kid. Now let's see if he can hang on and stay on the roster. He was a second-round pick, so there is no guarantees in the NBA. Purge at Fox Sports 1. The joy is gone. Joy Taylor amongst multiple talent and multiple shows being obliterated some 6 months plus, I want to say, in the wake of the scandal involving their GM, this guy Dixon, who was putting his Dixon, Charlie Dixon. Charlie was putting his Dixon places it didn't belong. The 38-year-old Taylor, who is, I believe, the sister of Jason Taylor, former NFL defensive end, super handsome fella, oh, by the way. Joy Taylor, of course, was wrapped up in this controversy as well. She is out as part of her show. They cancel Speak. They also canceled The Facility, which is the morning show featuring, let's see, who was on it? Well, I'll just read the copy here. Taylor co-hosted Speak with Keyshawn Johnson and Paul Pierce. Her contract was up and not renewed, so that's not quite a firing, but trust me, I've had that happen before. It feels like a firing. FS1 is also ending the morning show's Breakfast Ball and The Facility. Fox Sports declined to comment. Colin Cowherd's The Herd, which begins at noon, and First Things First with Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, and Kevin Wildes at 3 o'clock will continue in their time slots. FS1 will likely produce new shows in place of all cancellations. So they're not scaling back. They're just going to get new shows and new talent. Stand by for some of the names being mentioned. All three shows were created under Charlie Dixon. Breakfast Ball featured Craig Carton, Mark Schlereth, and Danny Parkins. Parkins just got the gig after a, you know, radio career in Chicago where he was, you know, I guess doing pretty good in Chicago, but nobody really knew him nationally. And this was like his big break. He was kind of an ordinary looking guy. I don't know what's going to happen to him. And Carton, of course, went to jail for massive fraud involving a ticket company that he created for premium events that turned out to be a complete scam. Did well at WFAN. He could be going back to WFAN. Who knows? And Schlereth, of course, played a million years in the NFL, had about 14 knee surgeries, and he'll do whatever he's going to do. According to The Athletic, a return to Fan is not out of the question, though, for Carton, although they have continued their dominance on The Fan in the market with Tiki Barber joining Carton's former partner, Evan Roberts, on Afternoon Drive. So there you go. And The Facility was Emmanuel Acho's show with Chase Daniel, James Jones, and LaShawn McCoy. Now, some of the names being floated around as possible new talent at FS1 include none other than Kay Adams. I would be fully in favor of that, oh, by the way, and some others. Bobby Burak of OutKick, who covers media, I think nails it succinctly. He says, programming a sports network should be easy. You find guys who want to have a beer and laugh with, athletes who are smart, people who are actual journalists, a pretty blonde girl here or there that gets along with the fellas. Cut out the Ryan Clark types, the bald women, the race hustlers, the wannabe MSNBC types, and people will watch. I agree. It's a crazy idea, but maybe they just ought to try it. Now to some email. Since it's just you and I like reading feedback, let me start with the emails I've gotten about the eulogy I had for my father last week. And I talked about how I was hesitant to do it because I knew I would get buried. And while I appreciate all the kind words, I'm just like, ugh, a lot of work. Well, I'm here to say I was wrong to even think that way. And I am absolutely blown away and thankful for each and every one of you who have reached out to me. And I am still getting back and getting back and getting back to people about this. I'm just chipping away a little bit every day, making sure I keep the ones I've not responded to as unread. Eventually, I'm going to clear out all the unreads in my inbox. But of the many themes that kept coming up, one of them, which made me realize why it was so important for me to do that in retrospect and how I should have been more, what's the word, positively inclined, let's say, to do that kind of a tribute in the first place. The thing that really hit home was how many people said, you know, I still have my dad. My dad is 77 or 81 or whatever the number is. And we still do this and we still do that. And it makes me think, you know what? I too don't have all the time in the world. In fact, I have increasingly little time if you think about it. In fact, the more you think about it, the more you'll send yourself into a panic. So keep busy. Keep active. Do things, okay? That'll keep your mind off the ruminations of, oh my God, things are going too fast. Slow the world down. But that alone, the fact that I inspired people to go, you know what? I need to spend more time with my dad. I need to take that trip. I need to sit down and just talk life with him because he is a warehouse of knowledge. And people who saw the video that I would send the link to of my mom and dad and their 50th anniversary, and they were very complimentary and said, oh my God, I need to do that myself, or I've got a huge box, a huge box of old 8mm film that I've been saying I'm going to get it converted, but I never do, or I get a price on it and it's kind of expensive. Again, do it. It's like buying a time machine for your life and your family's life. And as somebody put it succinctly to me, they said, that 15-minute thing you put together for your mom and dad, that is a digital asset, the ultimate digital asset that will be cherished by your kids' kids through the years because it's so good. It has so many vintage shots and movies and still pictures, etc. So thank you to all who reached out in that regard. This one from Russ Vanner. Hello, Russ. How are you? Steve, I'm so sorry to hear about the passing of your father. As a longtime listener, he felt part of our podcast family, and he will be certainly missed. I also lost my father back in April, and I can empathize that no amount of well wishes helps replace the loss. On to business. It's been a couple years since I sent you my guest power rankings. With the recent chatter about which guests are better than others, I feel a different approach should be taken this time. No guest rankings, but instead topic rankings. Those of us who have been listeners for 10-plus years understand there is going to be a certain element of recycling. With that said, the easy razor for good content, that would be theory, razor, should follow one simple rule. Fresh is better than stale. With that, on to the topic rankings. Stuff we really want to hear. 1, pop culture with sports themes. 2, current sports topics. 3, pop culture in general. 4, the life and times of Steve Zabin. And parentheses, Charch, because he's a fascinating fella. Crazy, by the way, too. Moved to Utah. He's having fun right now. Good for him. 5, gambling. Okay, we will talk gambling. MyBookie.com, promo code Zabe, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. 6, politics. Stuff that is so stale and so recycled, we never, ever, ever, ever want to hear it again. 1, Dan Snyder. 2, Dan Snyder. 3, the woes of the Redskins Commanders football history. 4, the Redskins Commanders logo controversy. 5, gossip from local DC radio stations from 2005, or 6, Andy's slavery references. Okay, let me stop to address something here. I don't know Russ. Russ is in Denver, so obviously all of the Redskins and DC stuff is not going to appeal to him. But you got to understand, Russ, no matter how long you've listened to me, even if you were from DC and maybe you weren't, there's a ton of our podcast listeners still in the DC area. that still miss me badly on DC Radio and Andy. I know because I see the numbers of where the downloads are coming from. It's a split. It's basically 50-50. Mostly Wisconsin and DC split, and it migrates a bit depending on season, but that's the basic split. Now, look, I've got to try to satisfy all comers, and I really resist in pushing too many Wisconsin things on this pod because I have an outlet for that in the morning show on 97.3 The Game. I hope I get credit for that. I really don't push Wisconsin stuff. I always think, I don't want to hear about this on the pod. They'll get me locally. Let's talk something else. Now, I am still very much intrigued by and curious about all new developments regarding the Commanders / Redskins. And I will talk about them when they come up. The new stadium is one that's fascinating. That's about to come to a head, whether it gets approved and when it starts to get built and everything else. And this uniform creeping up on maybe, you know, Mike Florio believes that the Harris Group is sneaking up on eventually changing the name back and changing the logo back when the temperature is right in the country and sports and everything else. I'm not so sure I'll believe it when I see it, but if so, it might be the right way to go. I've got a whole nother email on that coming in just a second. But you got to remember, Russ, Dan Snyder is a central figure in my career, the very thing that I put two girls through college, well, put one girl through college, and I'm, you know, happily supporting another one. He cannot be ignored. He cannot just be put away forever. What he did to both the childhood football team that I loved, as well as the radio station that I worked with, for God's sakes, since he and his dipshit business partners bought it, ran it right into the ground, just like the football team. That content is still going to exist on this podcast. It's mostly with Andy, and then we walk away from it. I don't talk about it with Charch very much. Scott and Solly, we do a bunch of other stuff. I would dare to say by volume, by percentage, it's not that much. But you can skip all of those times in which I delve into that, but trust me, it will not be ignored. Let me pull a Fatal Attraction. I won't be ignored, Dan. One last comment from Russ. He says, since there's been a lot of Solly slurping lately, Solly is okay, but I'm definitely hashtag Team Scott. You and Solly bring the same sort of snarky wit. Scott brings a different approach that is hard to put a finger on, but it is a force multiplier to the OG dynamic. Bottom line, Fridays are better with Scott. Of course they are. He's not going to be optioned out anywhere. He is an essential part of the mix. Anyhow, Russ says, overall, I love the show and I never miss a minute. You could have weeks dedicated to old school DC radio and Dan Snyder talking. I'll still probably listen. The pod is that good. Whether you like him or not, Rome was right. More of you and less of us is a good thing. Thank you, Russ, in Denver. I appreciate it. Now there's this on the flip side of the coin, and this is from Mario Zangala in Herndon, Virginia. Nuance regarding uniform changes, he writes. First, to be clear, Zabe, you're 1,000,000% correct on why we are fans. As you said, seasons come and go. But it's the uniformity of the brand, see what I did there, that connects all fans throughout all generations. Ding. Ding. If people do not understand that, and he doesn't, then they are either stupid or willfully ignorant. I don't know if Andy's either. He just is so doesn't care sometimes about various things, and I'm not going to make him try to care. I was born in 1969, Zabe, and so many of my favorite childhood memories are connected to experiences around the Redskins name. Then, in adulthood, I shared those experiences with my son, and even though there was very little success in these times, important bonds were formed. The name and uniform change left me completely disconnected, however, from the team. I still watch the games out of some zombie-like compulsion every autumn weekend, but I do so with no emotion. When Noah Brown caught Jaden Daniels' Hail Mary pass last year, I remained on the couch, dispassionate. I find that I'm able to get some happiness talking about the team, but as soon as I see them in those USFL uniforms or hear the C word name, I lose all of my mirth. In fact, I compulsively reply with fuck you every single time I hear someone call them the C word. Wow. Now for the nuance part. My best friend, also a Redskin fan for life, and I have been obsessing about the name and the uniforms for 5 years now. We try to read all the tea leaves and come up with indications of what might come. It is, quite frankly, exhausting. And I don't even want to share with you the epithets that we were hurling at Josh Harris after his postseason endorsement of the name Commanders. But lately, I think I've been seeing a method to the madness. Before the much-anticipated reveal of these alt uniforms, my buddy and I said that if they did not just walk into the fucking closet and pull out the old jerseys, then, well, we know there is no hope. Well, guess what they did? They walked into the closet and pulled out the exact old jerseys and pants. A complete return to the Gibbs era jersey. Was I tremendously disappointed about the lack of the logo? Of course. But here's the thing. I feel like this ownership group, unlike Snyder, is actually, wait for it, strategic. Do they hate Snyder's rebrand? Of course they do. Look at how abysmal they are in terms of merch sales. Even with a scintillating quarterback, I'm adding this part, they are terrible in merch sales. The brand has been rebranded now for 2 full seasons. They have this incredible young quarterback, and they're still not selling nearly as much stuff as they should. I don't know where Daniel's jersey ranks, but I don't think it's as high as it should be. He goes on to say, as a wise missionary from one of my favorite novels states, everything is possible, but everything is not expedient. A week ago, I would have said a return to the old brand and name was about 1% chance. Now, I feel like it's 99% chance coming back and with the name at even money. They are slowly boiling the frog in the pot, Zabe. As much as I want everything back right now, I need to be patient and let this group continue to chip away at Snyder's disgusting legacy. It's going to be a long wait until early November to see Jaden and the gang in those glorious jerseys, but I know it'll be a huge emotional step forward for me. I, my son, and my wife will all be wearing those same jerseys on that day, and it will be the first money that I have ever spent on gear since the name change. Hope is alive again. Best to you and your family, Mario Zangla. Now, you might say, well, that was a long fucking email right after a guy said, stop talking about this shit. I read the whole email because it's fascinating. It was well written. And I believe genuine. I would not believe if you told me that guys like Mario exist that still can't feel any kind of emotion or connection when the team is doing amazing things, like absolutely humiliating the Chicago Bears on the final play of a game in which their dipshit corner is running around taunting fans and then going, oh, snap, the play's going on. Hold on. A team too strategically stupid with their stupid coach they had to fire later on in the season, the Fluce, not realizing that, hey, you rush 3 guys and you let Jaden Daniels run around for, I forget how many seconds, it might have been 12 seconds or more on that play. I mean, you're guaranteeing at worst a popcorn ball jump ball in the end zone, which is way more of a chance that I would want to allow. You know my philosophy. Blitz Hail Marys. Always blitz Hail Marys. 5 guys. Oh, Hail Mary coming? We got 5 guys coming for you. Oh, but somebody's going to be open. Well, they may be open. They ain't going to be near the end zone, though, because we're going to be on your quarterback right away. But his point about boiling the frog or just sneaking up to a return to the name, logo, and everything might, they might be engineering that quietly. I don't know. I'm too cynical, too skeptical to believe it until I see it. But I suppose it would be like sneaking onto a boat. You want to sneak onto somebody's boat as they're getting ready to leave the dock? You don't stand at the foot of the dock on dry land and start screaming and flailing your arms and running down the dock. I'm going to get on your boat. kind of sneak up to it. You walk down the pier or the dock and you look around. You say, oh, this is nice, la, 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 la. And then as the boat is just about to push away, you just, boop, step. It'll be, if they pull this off, and I'm, again, skeptical, they will just literally step onto the boat like what? Yeah, the name and the logo are coming back. It's that simple. It was stupid for it to leave in the first place. And I know the next question you're going to ask is, well, does that mean you would be coming back? No. Probably. Not. Never say never. It would absolutely warm my heart to see the old name and logo back. It really, really would. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring Indeed is all you need.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional grade products and next day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This one from Scott Welch. Regarding New Mexico and Breaking Bad, Zabe, I'm sure you've been sent this email by more than just a few people, but the most common New Mexico reference in pop culture had to be when we were kids with Bugs Bunny, in which he said, "I knew I should have taken that left turn in Albuquerque." That is, of course, if people actually knew where Albuquerque, New Mexico was. Yes, that... Multiple emails about that very topic, and I do remember it. And let's see how left in Albuquerque. There we go. Left turn in Albuquerque. It's probably come right up on YouTube. Bugs Bunny, Albuquerque. Here we go.
See, you know, I knew I should have made a left turn at Albuquerque.
And it was a running joke, by the way, because this is a mashup compilation.
Don't look much like Los Angeles to me. I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Well, here I am. Hey, just a cotton-picking minute. This don't look like the Coachella Valley to me. I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Let's see now. South Pole? Oh, I get it. I should have turned left at Albuquerque. Well, here we are, Pismo Beach and all the clams we can eat.
What a waste. Pismo Beach, another one.
Underground. Hey, wait a minute. Since when is Pismo Beach inside a cave? I wonder, I just bet we should have turned left at Albuquerque, and then maybe a right turn at La Jolla.
La Jolla, as in La Jolla. Pismo Beach, for those who are wondering, is up north, just south of, it's not north, Pismo Beach is north of Santa Maria, which is north of Santa Barbara, which is north of Los Olivos and Solvang, and a bunch of other small little sleepy towns well north of L.A., pretty much in the middle of California. Well, actually, California is a big state. It's in the, if you were to go one-third of the way up California, almost a third plus, then you'd find Pismo Beach. Is there anything there other than the beach? I don't know. But he should have taken a left turn in Albuquerque. Anyway, the email goes on to finish by saying, my family's been in the state of New Mexico right after statehood in the 1920s. We go way back. I graduated from New Mexico State when we were all in the Big West, and I got my first job out of college in Seattle. Yes, I've been to New Mexico State on the road, the Aggies, coached by Neil McCarthy, with this incredible pipeline of Chicago JUCO talent. And these brothers were some serious ballers. They were tough. They were mean. They had good teams. They D'd you up. The fans down there in Las Cruces were nasty. It was a nasty spot to go visit and play. And I believe they made the tournament once or twice. I think as an at-large team. I don't know if they ever won the Big West, but yeah, that was a tough road win for sure back in the day. I remember being at the stoplight up there and noticing a guy pointing at my license plate and mouthing Bugs' words, I should have taken that left turn in Albuquerque. There is also a popular book in New Mexico called One of Our 50 States is Missing that chronicled how little people knew about our 47th state in the Union. Keep up the great work. Love the podcast, Scott. Well, thank you very much for that nice email from the Land of Enchantment, as I learned its nickname on Breaking Bad. Then there's this email from a guy who will remain nameless. He writes to say, hello, Steed. Oh, man, I was hoping you would jump on the Ursay sisters and their whole situation. Well, not jump on them literally, but I was hoping you'd jump in on the Ursay sisters now running the Indianapolis Colts. I've got a little snippet on the inside track on one of the sisters and their life. I'm from a tiny town in Indiana, went to college and lived in Indianapolis during most of Peyton Manning's run. It was glorious. While in Indy, I was living in a house with two guys from my hometown. One was my best friend since second grade, who also owned the house. For 1 year, the other was Boyd. Ugh, the douchey little brother of another high school friend of my best friend. I couldn't stand either brother even before this living situation. Well, the brothers were rich, entitled, know-it-all pricks, and Boyd never paid rent. He ate other people's food, drank other people's beer, barely worked, got stoned nonstop, adopted and neglected a French bulldog, and was really just taking advantage of my best friend's generosity. He just crashed there until we kicked him out. What's his last name, Boyd? Jackson. As in Ursay daughter Kaylin Jackson. Yup, she was over all the time. They would get stoned together and hang out nonstop. He would talk about going to parties at Jim's house and how crazy he would get. This was right before the incident with Jim's female friend dying when he had a car full of drugs and money. I forgot all the details about that one, but pretty sure you hit on that on one occasion. Oh, we've talked about it. It was a very ugly, bad situation. Never really paid any legal, you know, but never was not charged with anything per se. Just like, well, she was a friend of mine and she was on drugs and she died of a drug overdose. Sorry. Whoops. Long story short, Boyd had a definite Jordan Hudson gold digger vibe and intentions about him. Well, guess what? He bagged the big one. Now he got his little stoner slacker fuck up mitts on 1/3 of the Colts by way of marriage. I think I read he is now running the Colts Foundation with Kalen. Falling upward is sadly a real thing. Nepotism too, of course. Undefeated for infinity, I'm afraid to say. But also, so is male gold digging. I guess that's a win for gender equality, right? Probably too long to share on air, but thought you might find that interesting. Hate that dude. Hope the Colts lose forever. Ha ha, go Lions. I hope I didn't out the person. Maybe there could be some reverse engineering of, hey, I think I lived with you back in the day. I can assure you, this guy has many more people who have told many more stories about his younger days and with the one of the Ursay sisters, but hey, as they say in Britain, fair play. Fair play, young man, if you got the daughter of an NFL owner to fall in love with you and say yes to the dress, and you guys are married, and you've got good lawyers, and she does not have an ironclad prenup, and or a trust, and or whatever else separating you from a third of the Colts, then I guess, fair play. Then there's this to end today, and that is, I didn't see this one coming. The guy who got beat up by Nick Tarnaski on the golf course has apologized. To whom? I don't know exactly, but he did anyway. And I got to tell you, I am quite impressed overall with the sincerity of the apology. Here's the video. It's from the 4Play Pod, Barstool Sports. They might have added the early little movie clip, which I'm still unclear about where it originated, but it's the one where the guy says, yep, that's me. I bet you're wondering how I got in this situation. Here you go. Listen to the apology from this guy whose name I don't know, but he certainly went virally famous.
It's around the golf.
I got it all in.
Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation.
Yep, that's me, guys. The guy that got dropped like a bucket of balls in a pond. Not my finest moment, I know.
I know.
Looks real bad. Played 36 holes of golf. We drank way too much, and my mouth ran faster than my brain. All jokes aside, guys, I'd like to apologize to all the folks on the course, anyone caught up in it, and anyone who had to deal with me that day. I lost my cool, and I've learned from it. Just one of those days where you should have kept the card on the path, you know? Stay hydrated, keep your stick on the ice, maybe stick to 18.
That is, you know what? I'm going to give that a hockey stick tap right there, like they do after a good fight. Just an acknowledgement of well played. I said that this was an example of Canadian nice, that Canadian nice is so nice that a guy who gets his ass beat and humiliated by a larger, more sober man and goes viral would apologize to anybody. But he did. Somebody else said, no, that's not Canadian nice. That's called accountability. And it's very rare in today's world. I would agree. It is accountability. But good for him. Stick tap there. And somebody else said, you know, he was apologizing on behalf of all men because he realized that this made men look particularly bad. And that, you know, as a brotherhood, an unspoken brotherhood, nobody needs to make us look worse than we actually are. So good for him in that regard. Last ad, home run derby going on right now. I don't know who's leading. Don't spoil it for me. I'm going to watch as soon as I hit stop on record here, or record, as that Canadian said. I got it all on record. James Wood, the sensational rookie for the Nationals, in the Home Run Derby was asked, so what are you going to do if you win? Because the prize is actually $1 million. He said very succinctly, I'm going to go to the nearest Waffle House. Believe it or not, there's a song called Waffle House by the Jonas Brothers, which has some of the funniest lyrics ever. Funny in terms of like, really? You wrote a song about the Waffle House, about how your brothers would fight and you would solve it by sitting down at the Waffle House? Well, okay. Problem for James Wood is there's no Waffle Houses anywhere near the D.C. area. The first one is probably south of Richmond, Virginia, but still. I hope he wins. I'm about to go watch. Don't get stressed, it's gonna get figured out. Oh, deep conversation at the Waffle House. Headstrong father and a determined mother. Oh, that's why some nights we try to kill each other. But you know it's always love. Pretty catchy, isn't it? So, good luck for him. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please tell a friend about this podcast if it is enjoyable to listen to, if you learn something, or it caused you to think just a little bit, and help connect with other people of like-minded sports fandom. Thanks so much. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you on Wednesday.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you're putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.